want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
We are the Mad Men of Masculinity.
Your home for healthy masculinity. We're just real men having real conversations for you.
Hello, everybody. I know we're late, but we're still here.
Yeah, all both of y'all sitting there waiting for us at 5 o'clock. I am Kirk M. Samuels.
And I am Jason B. Kendrick.
And we are the Mad Men of Masculinity.
That's right. We're just real men having real conversations for you right here on your home for healthy masculinity.
I'm looking over to my right because that's where my laptop is, and I am sharing because sharing is caring. If you care, you share.
It's very sweet of you. We really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Appreciate you sharing.
I'm just a generous kind of guy like that, man. Shares are free all month long.
That's
right. We turned off the paywall for sharing. And so now you can share for free all month long.
Free share. See how we do it for y'all? Make sure you got thing, all you need to share for free.
Mm-hmm. Show to the nuff.
So what are we talking about today, man?
I don't know. If you don't know, we in trouble.
I'm telling you. So we had that conversation Saturday, and then we talked a bit about it Monday with Adam Feuerstein. But I want to talk about the flavors of masculinity and what's your flavor of masculinity. So I think what we tend to hear is the old school alpha male, you know, rah-rah, hyper testosterone, hyper aggressive, hyper competitive, and that's what we're taught, you know, the old John Wayne, like, suck it up and be a man, you know, kind of thing. But there's many different flavors of masculinity. I think even in the terms of different types or different flavors, there's even maybe a spectrum too, because some men are very masculine, but maybe they're more artistic. And I think the example we came up with was Prince, because that dude was not the alpha male type, you know. He wasn't a big old muscular or whatnot, but he was artistic. And you didn't think that dude could steal your girl, you'd be wrong, because he was all kinds of masculine. But I mean, he wore high heels and frilly shirts and things like that. So we want to talk a little bit about what's your flavor of masculine and how can you feel like, you know, maybe know yourself better and feel, you know, I am a man. This is my flavor of masculine.
It sounds like when you talk about flavor of masculinity, it sounds like you're talking about just kind of your lane of the highway. You know, maybe masculinity is like an expressway. And maybe there's who knows how many different lanes on that highway. We talked about staying in your lane as far as dating and all that kind of stuff. We talked about staying in your lane just in a whole lot of ways. And so maybe, you know, maybe as opposed to jumping around, trying to figure out, you know, who and what you are, maybe if you just discover what your lane is on that masculinity highway, and you just drive in that lane and you maximize that lane, then, you know, then maybe there's some level of fulfillment, some level of happiness, some level of security, competence, all those kinds of things wrapped up in staying in your lane.
Yeah. I mean, for most guys, I know, you know, a lot of our struggle, especially as young men, is that we're not really taught to figure out who we are. So we try to emulate the rock stars and the athletes and maybe people that we're not actually meant to be like. And then it's not until usually later on in life where all that, we tried all that, we did all stuff we were supposed to do or we were told to do, or unless we were the rebel, then we just did the opposite. But then you get to a certain point, you're like, well, what do I want? Like, who am I? What fills my heart up? What energizes me? What makes me happy? And then that's when you might start that journey of self-discovery and you realize, oh, well, maybe I'm, you know, this is my flavor. Maybe, you know, I'm not chocolate or vanilla. Maybe I'm orange sherbet, or maybe I'm Rocky Road, whatever. Like, you decide what is you, or you learn who you are, and then you start to embody that more and more, because that's the only way you are going to fulfill yourself and be happy is by understanding who you are, understanding what makes you tick, and then, you know, expressing that and being that for the world to see.
Yeah, the elephant in the room for me right now in this moment is like and subscribe for more. No, the elephant in the room for me, actually, that being said, you know, for all y'all who don't know, we come back on you know, mid to end week, and we do our little 30-minute as opposed to the 1 hour that we do recording our over-the-air radio show on Mondays. And so, you know, we come back with a quick hit here this afternoon, this evening, just to kind of throw out something to think about. But right now, the thing that stands out in my mind is that, fortunately, unfortunately, it is what it is. You know, we got to play the cards we're dealt. And right now, that means that most of us have to figure out what that thing is, as opposed to having a father figure in our life that helped guide us into what that thing is. And, you know, I, from my experience, you know, over the past, you know, decade or so of being a father and, you know, having a adopted a kid and being a father to a son anyway, specifically, I found that maybe the best gift I can give him is to help him discover what his gift is and what his calling is and what his purpose is. Not get in the way, not make him what I wish he was, but to empower him to step into his purpose. Unfortunately, most of us didn't have that growing up. And so a lot of us at this point, as 40, 50, even down to 30, whatever year old men, are having to figure out what that thing is. And we're having to kind of wade through the wilderness without anybody cutting the path for us in whatever direction we need to go.
Yeah, I think I know in my experience, it was very much that way, where I think the old mindset was, you know, oh, this baby comes into the world and it's just this clean slate that we need to pour into. We need to turn into something. We need to make this baby what we think it needs to be. But I mean, if you've ever been around any babies, you know, really quick, they have their own personality. They are kind of who they are. You know, they have their own quirks and things. They have their own skill sets. And so, to your point, taking the time to find out who they are, especially as a parent and a father, and working with that versus trying to make them opposite. I know in my upbringing, what I felt more often than not was, don't be yourself, be what I want you to be. Like, I don't understand you as you are, so I want you to be what I can understand, or I want you to be this thing that makes sense to me that I think will be successful in the world. So you don't get a lot of self-awareness that way, and you tend to emulate what you're told to do or what you feel like you need to do to be safe or to be accepted or to be, you know, not ostracized from the tribe, as it were. So then, yeah, you get to a certain point where you're like, well, who am I? Like, all this stuff I've been trying isn't making me happy and doesn't work. So then who am I really? And how do I get to that? And I think for a lot of us, and we come back to that same point of look in the mirror and look at your traumas and look at your childhood and realize, like, those things made me who I am today. So instead of hiding them or fighting them or trying to turn them into something else, just accept them and then work with them and realize maybe this is the secret ingredient to my little, you know, formula of who I am and how I can be the perfect flavor for me and, you know, for what I want to create in the world moving forward.
Yeah. I mean, the tough part about that from a father perspective is sometimes you got to sit back and you got to watch. And I'm speaking about sons, you know, I'm speaking about males, obviously. Sometimes you got to sit back and you got to watch him bang his head against, you know, against some walls and into some doors. You got to watch him, you know, stumble over some curbs and stub his toe and all those kinds of things. All of those are part of the process. And a lot of people, you know, we want to bubble wrap the, you know, this next generation. We want to bubble wrap our kids. We want to bubble wrap our sons to not let them go through some of the hardships of that growing up process. And we want to put a helmet on them, some knee pads, some elbow pads, you know, some wrist guards, you know, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, and we want to make sure they don't get hurt or injured in the process. But sometimes, you know, going through that leads them to where they need to be. And a lot of people might step in and, you know, when, and again, we can't skip over the fact that in most cases, 51 out of 100, even young men these days don't have, you know, deep connected relationships with their dads. You know, for some reason, maybe a family split up and broke up, and, you know, maybe dad kind of threw up the deuces and left, or maybe dad left, or maybe, you know, family split up and, you know, and mom stepped in and put a bunch of junk in Junior's head and created some, you know, some, she passed down some of her issues or traumas with dad to the son or to kids. Who knows? All these different kinds of scenarios can happen. But at the core of it, the point is, you know, you still have a lot of guys, young men and older men, that that don't really know, and they got to figure that thing out for themselves, because we didn't really have that growing up. And so now we're at the point of, okay, now what? You know, now what do I do? I'm 50 years old. Now what? You know, I mean, I can't undo the last 50 years. I can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. But at the same time, I still got to discover what my lane of the highway is.
Yeah, when I used to run men's groups, and it was ages from, you know, late teens to 50s, 60s, you know, but the overwhelming kind of thought process or opinion was most of those guys didn't feel like, quote unquote, men. Because one, they didn't have a rite of passage. Two, they didn't fit the alpha male model or the John Wayne model that they'd been taught. You know, they're not Chuck Norris. You know, they're not the baddest guy on the planet. Most of them are bookkeepers and accountants and, you know, maybe artists or cooks or whatnot. So, you know, they have their own mixture, their own unique mixture of masculine and, you know, feminine energies, or just, you know, their own unique mixture of experiences and how they grew up. And that's the thing of getting to know yourself. Looking at your upbringing and realizing that if you grew up in the deep South in the country, you're not going to get, you know, understand or be comfortable in, you know, Brooklyn, New York, or in LA or whatnot. So understanding your background can help you understand your flavor. And then we did the episode quite a while ago, but it's still on YouTube. I mean, the types of male personalities, and there's not just alpha, there's alpha, beta, gamma, delta, omega, what was it? Sigma and zeta or whatever. I mean, there's all these different ones that you can research to go, hey, maybe that's my flavor, maybe that's my flavor, maybe my combination is some different mixture of a couple of them. But when you are comparing yourself, and I think that's the biggest issue, is that when we don't have a good male role model growing up, we tend to compare ourselves with what we think the world wants, or what we're told is cool, or what we think we want to be like, and that may or may not be who we are. And so you spend many years trying to be something you're not, which most of us do. And then we get to a certain point, hopefully, where you realize that's not working. And then you start doing some inner work and get some counseling or talk to a men's group or something. And start realizing, okay, maybe my version, my flavor of masculinity is different. Doesn't make me less of a man. It just makes me a different type of man.
You know, and where you just left off in terms of fitting in, I think there's one thing to almost search for a name or it's almost one thing to search for kind of what defines you, as opposed to looking for something to define you. And what I mean by that is, even with all those types, you know, you rattle off all the Greek alphabet types. You know, it's one thing to find one of those and say, "Ooh, that sounds cool. I want to be that." And so I'm going to try to fit into that box. Is another thing to read all those and say, yeah, that kind of describes me. That describes who I am or what I am. And maybe to a degree, you know, maybe you might be a little bit of a couple different things. But either way, you know, you can't look for identity in the world. You can't look for identity in comparison. You can't look for identity even in your past and in your mistakes. But you got to look for your identity in my opinion, something greater than this world, something greater than this life. You got to look for your identity and your purpose, your calling, your God. You got to look for your identity in something that's not going to die off or pass away at some point. But to be able to because a lot of guys idealize, for example, Navy SEALs, right? And like, oh, I want to go be that, you know, so I'm going to go to find somebody that does some Navy SEAL boot camp. And, you know, I'm going to go do that whole thing. And, you know, we were talking to Zach a couple of weeks ago. He's talking about he went to some event kind of like that. And everybody around the room had tribal tattoos and big, long, scruffy beards and all this other kind of stuff. And it was all about, you know, whose junk was bigger and that kind of stuff. And it's like, yeah, but, you know, is that me? Like, nah, not necessarily. You know, I love listening to David Goggins, and I love kind of that for inspiration, but I'm not a David Goggins kind of guy, man. I'm not going to be running down the street, you know, with my shirt off, trying to literally kill myself, telling myself how much I suck and how much of a loser I am and what I need. I'm just not that kind of guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I know, coming down to who are you and then finding some, you know, we come back to the foundational thing. I think, Adam brought up a good point on Monday night show, is that, you know, nowadays we don't really hunt and fish like we used to. We're not providing for our families and having them protect them from wild animals or you know, natives or whatever the thing is, you know, somebody trying to steal our land or whatnot. So it's a different type of providing now, but we're still providing. And it's interesting because we still emulate the old, you know, the biggest guy and the strongest guy and whatnot, but it's really nowadays the smartest guys that are the best providers. They may not be the best protectors, quote unquote, physically, but I mean, if you're smart and you have means, you can protect using your brains. You can protect, you know, by providing a safe space, by making sure you're not in areas that are dangerous and things like that. So shifting our definition of what is provider, what is protector, you know, what is presider or leader as a man, it looks different in the world today. And if we're still trying to use the old 1900s or 1950s model, then no wonder we're disidentifying with who we are as men and trying to identify with something that isn't who we are. You know, maybe we idolize our grandfather or our great-grandfather who fought World War II or whatever, and we idolize that man and his honor and discipline and the respect that you have for him. And you think, oh, I want to be like that. Well, take the parts of him that resonate with you. Take the parts of him that you can idolize, but don't try to be that guy, because you can't be that guy. You got to be you. And when we spend so much time trying to be something we're not, then we lose all the energy and power and passion that we could generate ourselves for something in the future, for something we want to create that will become our legacy. But the biggest reason I think most of us fail at that is we're not willing to look in the mirror and look at our traumas and turn that pain into power. A lot of times what will be your passion is the thing you wanted the most as a child that you didn't get, that maybe you can impart to the next generation. But if you're not willing to look in the mirror and go through that hardship and the pain and struggle of healing those wounds, then you may end up just continuing to repeat them and create that vicious cycle of just pain and trauma.
Hey, shout out to our sponsors, by the way. Castle Rock Men's Health, Barry Overton, Real Estate Guru, the Yoda of Denver Metro and Colorado real estate, not because he looks like Yoda, but because he knows a whole lot, and he's pretty smart. He's pretty much the Jedi Master of Denver real estate. And then, of course, the Aramas Family Pro Auto Care. We love all of you guys, man, and we look forward to partner with you more. And we thank you guys. I mean, partner with us to help men be better. You know, everything you just said, man, along with everything you just said, we got to understand that in finding who you are and finding what your flavor masculinity is, feelings have really little to no place in that. You're not going to feel like that thing all the time. You're not going to feel like you have you know, the ceiling of whatever that masculinity type is. I mean, there, you know, you mentioned Prince specifically at the top of this thing. Prince died of a drug overdose, right? I mean, so, you know,
did he though?
All of us, yeah, well, come on, man. you know, either way, we're not going to feel like that top of the mountain of whatever that thing is that we're trying to climb. You know, life is lived on the side of a mountain, and every now and then we summit that thing. And so, you know, you can't go by, I feel like an alpha, I feel like a this and that, because it ain't going to happen. I mean, we all have different days. We all got stuff going on, and every day you're not going to feel. Today is, you know, for various reasons, is not a great day for me. I'm really kind of, I'm bringing what I got to the, you know, to the cookout right now, you know, bringing it. So you bring it, and then you allow it to kind of be what it is that day, but recognize the fact that you're not going to feel like King Ding-a-ling every single day. You're not going to feel like, you know, you're not going to feel like the one, the man, whatever it is that you are on any particular day. And so it goes beyond your feelings, especially for men. Women can live in their feelings. You know, men, I think in our ideally at our peak form of whatever our flavor masculinity is, we can't live in our feelings. We got to live in our identity. So that's why our identity and our purpose are so important.
Yeah, but there is you kind of bring up a good point too, because almost the antithesis of that point is for a lot of men, realizing you have feelings and learning how to identify and deal with and understand your feelings and be like, you know, just so you know, like, cause there's a lot of times, I mean, we get the full moon's going on right now. Maybe that full moon's, you know, bringing up all kind of stuff and you're feeling weird. Maybe you're wolfing out. Maybe, you know, something else is going on, but you know, things happen. There's cycles and ties to life. And if you are denying the fact that you as a man have feelings, if you're denying the fact that you may be empathetic and can feel what other people are feeling, and you don't have a handle on that, they can really mess up your day and really throw you off of your path, because you're like, well, I don't understand why I feel this way. Well, maybe it's because somebody else is feeling that way and you're empathetic. And so you're taking on their stuff, especially as a man who wants to protect and provide. A lot of times, if you are an empathic man like me, a lot of times you will unconsciously try to take on everybody else's burden and try to shoulder that. And then you wonder why you're so tired every day. You wonder why you feel beat down. You're like, I didn't do anything but my normal thing today, but I'm just exhausted. Well, maybe you're taking on too much of the world and not learning how to process whatever those feelings are. Because so many guys, they're like, I don't feel like a man because I'm not the alpha guy. But then they're also like, well, I don't understand my feelings, or I shouldn't feel, because all I've been taught is suck it up and, you know, grab yourself up by your bootstraps and, you know, don't feel, don't cry, don't emote. But that's not being a human being. That's not being a whole man. That's not being a whole person. Is you have to understand, okay, maybe my past is leading me to my purpose, but along that way, I have to understand myself as in the person who has feelings, the whole being that actually has thoughts and feelings and emotions. And what do I do with that? And how can I process that? Because I think most of us as guys are struggling because we haven't learned how to identify and process our emotions. We're just too busy stuffing them down and then covering them up with alcohol and drugs and porn or whatever else, because we're just trying to maintain. We're just trying to get through whatever feelings we're getting. And if you don't learn or don't get help to learn to sit with and identify what you're feeling and then go beneath that, because really it's what's beneath. It's that little boy beneath that's running the show that you don't know what he's doing or why he's doing what he's doing. But if you don't learn how to sit and look at those emotions and then go beneath those emotions and see what's actually at the core of that, then you won't know what you need to work on and heal.
Yeah. Feeling, if we didn't feel, we wouldn't be human, right? And I mean, like you just said, I could share other stories with other people about other people, but I like to use myself as the example, so I'm not putting other people's business out on the street. But, as a man, having feelings and, like you said, being able to be empathetic and all those things, as I'm sitting here just before this call having a conversation with my wife about redecorating our bedroom, and I'm realizing that I'm really, I'm there, I'm listening, I'm focused, and my identity, my form of masculinity in this house and in this relationship is I am, the leader, right? I am that person, that space, that sounding board, I am that direction, all those kinds of things. At the same time, I spent over a couple of hours today talking with my mom on the anniversary, the first anniversary of my grandmother passing, and my mom's emotional, and we're having this, I'm being there for her and all that kind of stuff. And so I'm not going to be able to get off that phone call with her today and just go right into bam, 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 I got this. And so I got to recognize that, yeah, I do feel. I would be human if I didn't. And, when my mom hurts, I hurt. When my mom cries, I'm crying, right? And so, we do have to recognize those things, man. We do have to recognize all of that. And at the same time that I do have the feelings involved in all that, and at the same time, not let my feelings dictate who I am and what I do, because it would have been easy for me to say, I'm not feeling like doing Mad Men today, man. I'm really struggling. Let's just go ahead and skip. No, I mean, I have feelings. I experience those feelings. But at the same time, those feelings don't dictate my identity and who I am. And my identity and who I am is Mad Men of Masculinity. You know what I'm saying? And that's kind of, at least in this role, in this capacity for this 30 minutes. And so we do have to balance all those kind of things, man, in the everyday ups and downs of life.
Yeah. I mean, just the fact that you can acknowledge that, in the moment, like, yeah, I'm talking to my mom and we're struggling with this anniversary of my grandmother's passing, and then still be able to go, okay, I'm having this reaction, I'm having this emotion, and then going, but I'm going to put that over here because I got this other thing to do, which in a lot of times, I think for men, that's cathartic, because when we can acknowledge the emotion, but then still move on, then there's something in the doing. We're in a lot of ways, it's the actions of moving forward. And it's like, okay, I acknowledge I'm sad right now. I acknowledge I'm feeling depressed. I acknowledge I'm grieving, and I'm going to still move forward. And something about, because I've had that. Every time it seems like, I remember with some of my old relationships, when I would get upset or we'd have a fight, the first thing I would do is find the next thing. Like, I remember I was living in Breckenridge and had a fight with one of my girlfriends, and I was outside like breaking the ice off the steps and shoveling snow, and just need to do something physical to help process that energy, to help process that emotion. So I think sometimes we miss out on the opportunity to process physically when we don't acknowledge, hey, I'm upset right now. Hey, I'm having this this emotional reaction, and I do have feelings. And as a man, I need to do something to process. I think sometimes if we don't do that, then that's when we shut down and go, nope, I'm out. I'm going to go, you know, crack a beer. I'm going to go turn on the computer. I'm just going to check out, instead of, hey, maybe I should acknowledge this and then move forward and allow whatever I'm doing next to be that cure or that mechanism to process what it is I'm feeling right now.
Yeah, because in my past, like in my past, where I am right now, I would spend the rest of the evening. My wife's about to go to work. You know, she works nights. She's about to go to work. I would spend the rest of this evening pouring it out. I would spend the rest of this evening just stroking away the pain and numbing myself emotionally so I don't have to feel, so I don't have to do that thing. And it is a conscious choice to say, that's not my identity. That's not my flavor. That's not my lane of masculinity that I want to live in. I want to be able to stay in my lane, to stay in who I want to be. And so, you know, here in a half hour, I'm going to be on a B-Men Zoom. You know, connected with you here. I'm connecting with other guys, and you know, maybe later on after that, maybe I'll go do some push-ups or something like that, and you know, whatever it is. I mean, if the weather is nicer, maybe I'd, you know, go for a walk, or you know, go have half a cigar outside or something. I don't know. But the point is, even in the moment and in the feelings, you still have to decide what flavor of masculinity you're going to be in spite of the circumstances. And to your point, choose to do something that sticks with that identity, whatever that lane of masculinity is in your identity, who you declare you are and who you want to be and who your purpose says you are.
Yeah, I think, and that's where we come back to knowing yourself. And when you know your brand of masculinity, your flavor, when you know your foundation, your identity, then I think you're more capable to deal with those ebbs and flows of life and those waves and, you know, the full moons and the dark nights of the soul and, you know, the emotions and things that come up. Because I think when we don't have that stronger foundation of, this is who I am, this is my identity, you know, this is my passion and purpose as a man, what I do in the world. You know, you and I do this show, and we have our other passions and things that we focus on to work with men or to, you know, women, couples, whatever. But it gives us that purpose. So, you know, it's like if we don't have a bigger vision for ourselves, then the small minutia things will take us out of our path and sink our ship, as it were. So having that, taking that time as a man to really dig in and go, who am I? What is my identity? What is my purpose? What is my bigger vision for the future? Like Tony Robbins says, my compelling vision of the future. When you have that, then it's easier to deal with those things. But when we don't, which a lot of us don't, because we feel like lost at sea, like we're on an island. We don't have a good sense of our identity because we haven't taken the time to look within or get some help, get a men's group, get a therapist, look at our past, look at our traumas. Then we're much more easily swayed by all the nonsense out in the world, all the social media stuff and news stuff and every little argument or every little irritation driving around cities, you know, driving in traffic. That might throw you off your path just because it triggers something in you. But when you have a stronger foundation and identity, then you're less easily triggered and you're more likely to continue on your path and just allow those things to kind of go by the wayside.
Yeah. So landing my airplane tonight, man, I'm definitely of the mindset that, that whatever our lane of masculinity is, man, that we stick in that lane, we stay in that lane, and we make this journey through life in that lane. And, you know, not comparing it to the lane to the left, not comparing it to the lane to the right, but stick in that lane, man, and stick to your identity. That's who you are, not even just what you are. And so, man, I think that is important in the moment, in the day, even in the emotion of life.
Yeah. And when you do find your identity, you do find like, this is who I am and this is my foundation, then get other guys around you and tell them what your identity is. Tell them what your foundation is, because we'll all go off script. We'll all go off track. But when you got guys around you, be like, hey, does that fit your identity? Does that fit your goal? Does that fit who you are? You know, or is this where you really want to go? Because, I mean, all the coaching I do, a lot of times it comes back to that 12-step, two-step. You're going to take two steps forward, but you're going to take a step back, and you got to have people around you to support you during those step back moments, because they can be the most important moments when you're realizing, I don't want to go that way again. So I'm just reinforcing what I don't want so I know what I do want. But if you don't have people around you sometimes to support that or to say, hey, is that really, does that fit your identity? Does that fit your purpose? Then it might really knock you off. You might feel like, oh, I fell off the wagon again. I'm done. I'm evil and I'm bad. I'm going to hell. Or is it just a momentary step back? If you had a little bit of support from guys around you who knew your identity and purpose, they could help get you back on track and help support you. No, that was just a stumble. Let's keep it moving. Let's keep it going. And that's my final word on the thing. So for the rest of y'all, make sure you like and subscribe. Check us out Mondays. Check us out on YouTube. We've got hundreds of episodes and thousands of hours of content. And until next time, make sure you love us, because we love y'all. Mad Men. Out. Okay, man.